हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so this point is being made that the Lord, he doesn't see the difference in the energies, right? Because they're all his energies, so he can use them as he likes, right? We remember Hare Krishna that he is, his senses can all do what any other sense does. So if he can see with his, you know, with his skin or smell with his eyes or anything, you know, like when he takes prasad, he eats with his eyes. So therefore, then there's not a problem that he can take material energy and do it with it as he pleases, right? So then the example is given is when he comes as the Archamurti, then as the deity, then it's material energy, but it's Krishna, so it's spiritual, right? Does that make sense? But there's still the element that is there for our conditioned consciousness, that whatever it is that we think is material of the deity, that remains. Right? Like once there was I'm not sure whose temple it was, but there was a temple, I think up north somewhere. And somehow the local authority, you know, the British authority, came to visit the temple. You know, this would have been in there. And so when he came, he walked into the temple with his shoes on. And so then following behind him were a whole bunch of, you know, pujaris that with, you know, rags in their hands and wiping the floor behind him. So he became very insulted at this, you know, that they think he's unclean, you know, because he walks in so they have to wipe the floor after him, rather than, you know, he was being insensitive and not, you know, following their tradition. So then he went back, got his army, and then with his cannons and that, then destroyed the temple. So then the devotees asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur how this could have happened, you know, that they've destroyed the deity, the temple and the deity. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, they haven't destroyed the deity. They've destroyed your material concept of the deity. It means you think the deity is made of stone. That they destroyed. But the deity himself can't be destroyed, because Krishna is spiritual, so therefore that aspect you can't see. It's because you see material, therefore he comes to you through the material. But it's not material. Right? Does this make sense? So like that, so for Krishna there's not a big deal between the two. Therefore, he can function within the material energy, but at the same time not be affected by it. As a universal form, he enters everything, makes everything work. But at the same time, he's separate. Right? Since the Lord is the master of all energies and the supreme enjoyer, the living being should act according to his desire and not independently. In the purport to Mantra 4, Srila Prabhupada writes, quote, every part and parcel of the complete whole is endowed with some particular energy to act according to the Lord's will. When the part and parcel living entity forgets his particular activities under the Lord's will, he is considered to be in Maya, illusion. Thus, from the very beginning, Sri Ishupanishad warns us to be very careful to play the part designated for us by the Lord. We means you have the complete energy, right? The Sarup Shakti. then that has so many divisions within it. So then you have the Hladini Samvit and Sandini potencies. Right? The Sarupa is just the complete form. So now these have specific activities that they perform. Right? The Chit potency in this case, or the Samvit potency in this case, Yoga Maya, she makes the arrangements of everything. Right? How everything will work, whether knowledge is there or not, what activity, based on that, what activity is there. Right? Hladini potency, so Srimati Radharani. So then she is then the pleasure potency, those activities in which give pleasure to the Lord. Right? So each of these then is something specific. As they expand, you see Mother Jashoda. She has specific potency that is there for being the parent of Krishna. Or the cowherd boys explain, they have the expand, they have the potency of being his friends. Right? Then you have the potency of those who are servants. Does that make sense? So as you expand like this, then at some point you get us, the jivas. So that means we have a certain potency to serve the Lord. Right? A certain potency by which we are serving the Lord. So if we use that potency to serve the Lord, that's acting in our natural position. To not use that in the service of the Lord, that would be what we call here independent. But we're acting outside of the Lord's desire, because we are that particular expansion of potency to perform that particular service. Right? In other words, the complete potency is there, and then so many combinations of aspects of that potency are there, which give unlimited variety in service to the Lord. Does that make sense? So therefore, that's what Ishupanishad is giving. Ishavash means this principle, he is the Lord, and he gives us what we require. So this is our quota, right? This is the potency. This particular potency is then within our application, that we can use this for the Lord's service. So we use it, that's nice. We don't use it, then it's a problem. That's Maya. Having come here, still the same principle is there. Then you're given a certain amount or a certain combination of Krishna's material potencies here, and that gives us our material identity, our material position, facility. Now we can use those potencies for Krishna or not. It's the same principle. It's not any different. So if we can use the material potencies that we are given, our quota, in Krishna's service, that means we'll be able to use our spiritual potency in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? So all these things, it's not something different. It's the same thing. You just change whether it's on the spiritual and material platform. That's the opposite, right? Whether it's eternal or temporary. But the formulas of how they work are the same. Right? This is sometimes a mistake. We think it's something different. So in one sense, it's good if we think it's different, because then we won't then claim that materially performed activities are spiritual. Right? Because otherwise, you do get that. Sahajas engage in all kinds of mundane activities and claim they're being spiritual. So it avoids that. But then, to pushing that point too strongly, then you're getting rid of qualities, you know, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out. Then getting rid of those qualities, then that situates one closer to the impersonal. Right? So in other words, you use the impersonal to get rid of the sahaja aspect. You use the sahaja aspect to get rid of the impersonal. Does that make sense? You know, in other words, by emotion you cut too much intelligence. By intelligence you cut too much emotion. Does that make sense? So the proper balance is Krishna consciousness, which is the proper position between these two, right? The razor's edge. Because if you deviate off this, then the emotion gets so much it turns into the sahaja, or the intelligence turns so much it goes into impersonalism. So it's the proper balance of these two. Yes?
Does that quota of energy expand the more we desire to serve?
Does it expand the more we desire to serve? Technically, it doesn't have to expand. What it is that you're fully engaging it, and by that expansion of the consciousness, you're more aware of the other potencies that are connecting between you and Krishna. This is something unique that is there. All sampradayas have it, but to the degree that we use it, this is something special that only Lord Chaitanya is giving. See, because that otherwise, as it mentions in the mood of when you're dealing with the platform of prema, that this can have two means kamanuga or the sambhoganuga. So in the sambhog, that means you're with Krishna, right? So that aspect of sambhog, you have the relationship with Krishna in a particular form, right? Means your husband, your wife, your mother, father, friend. It's in a specific form. And because of the rules of that form, that your relationship's based on that. Does that make sense? So that will be like the queens in Dwarka. They're wives of Krishna, therefore the duties of wives and the facilities of wives are their sphere of service. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's based on that, then their affection of conjugal love is being manifest. Right? But in the Kamanuga, then it's simply that desire to please Krishna that is prominent. So it's not so much the form. The form is still there, but the form isn't the prominent. The form is prominent in Dwarka. Means the form is prominent, and through that you express yourself. The others, you're expressing yourself, you use that form. There's a difference in emphasis. So Kamanuga means the mood is more prominent. Then within that mood, then you have what is called, what was it called? You have, I've seen the same, sambhogechamayi and the tad bhavechamayi. The sambhogechamayi means that you, in that expressing of that, you want to express that as directly as possible with Krishna. You know, like you have Radharani is directly expressing her relationship with Krishna, and so are the other gopis. Right? They have a, you know, seemingly direct interaction on the conjugal platform. Right? So the tad bhavechamayi is you don't want a direct relationship. You want to serve Radharani in her service to Krishna. Does that make sense? So if you're dealing with sambhogechamayi, then it's whatever you have, that's what you have to offer. Right? And that's as big as it gets. But for Krishna, because he is so special, he is aware of even the slightest, smallest amount of, you know, interaction. So therefore, even the jiva acting on that platform of sambhogechamayi, it's not a problem for him, because that will increase his pleasure. Right? But because he's already interacting with his internal potency, so that will be some extra added on. But Krishna will appreciate that, but it's not that the living entity does. Okay? Then the tad bhavechamayi means you're not directly serving. You're serving your spiritual master, serving his like this. And so the conjugal relation is between Radha and Krishna. We simply assist that. But because of this mood of assisting whatever experienced in those personalities between us and Krishna, we experience. Does that make sense? Even though we don't have the capacity, we get the experience. Does that make sense? So then you're offering, instead of a mustard seed to Krishna in the way of how much your love is compared to Radharani's, which is like Mount Meru, it's Mount Meru plus a mustard seed. So that gives so much more pleasure to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So its expansion is not that you get greater, but you are connected more clearly through the whole line. Other lines is by the grace of your guru, you're doing things, but then you're doing service. Or they'll know Lakshmi is there, but it's still very, very formal. They won't have that enthusiasm and that greatness of that form. You know, I mean, that means not the form. That mood of serving through the other devotees. You're simply assisting them, and that's your pleasure. Like that. So, therefore, you're taking the greatest mood of just being an assistant, so therefore you get the greatest amount of pleasure, because that's what pleases Krishna. Right? Krishna is independent. He does not have to interact with anybody. Right? He is Atmaram, so there's no need to even expand his energies. He's already fully satisfied. But by expanding them, then that increases his pleasure. But how does it increase his pleasure? This is where we make the mistake. We think increasing the pleasure means I'm in control of those energies that have been expanded. But actually, Krishna is under the control of those energies he's expanded. That's what gives him more pleasure. Otherwise, being in charge and being the boss, he's already got that as Atmarama. But there's no interaction. You understand? This is where the jiva makes probably his major mistake in all his relationships in the material world.
This sounds like the true understanding of the old adage, God is love, because love rules even Krishna.
Yes. Yeah.
Lagini potency rules even him.
Yeah, because he is, means they work within the field he's created, because he's created the environment in which, they, you know, Braj is created by him. So within Braj, then they serve Krishna, right? So then he's created that, so that's their submission to him, is work within his rules, his sphere. But what is their particular mood that they want to serve him in, that's what Krishna reciprocates with, right? So it's Mother Jashoda sees him as her son, he acts as her son. Because he's not specifically her son. But because she has that mood, he acts in that way. Right? So this way, then he acts with his devotees as they have their mood towards him. So this is where then it switches, because there has to be a balance. If it's always Krishna, 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 Krishna in charge, then where's the balance? So that element of him as the controller and the balance with the controlled, then there's rasa. Right? So that's the science of relationship. So it's always balanced. When one is never in charge and that's it, it's all your way. You know, like that. You know, Frankie G was wrong. You know. He says it's gonna be my way. It can be your way, but it doesn't mean you're gonna be happy. You know what I'm saying? With dead matter it can be your way. But even with dead matter, you have to deal with the dead matter as the dead matter allows you to deal with it. So in any case, rasa is the same. It doesn't change, whether it's dead matter, whether it's emotions with others, or whether it's spiritual emotion. It's still the same function. It doesn't change. It's just the quality of it does. Just like metal, it's iron, it's silver, it's gold. It's still all metal, but the difference between gold and iron is great. So when you're categorizing rasa, whether it's spiritual, emotional, or physical, it doesn't matter. It's the same. It's method. So because of impersonalism, we take it that spiritual is very different. But actually, it's exactly the same. It's just that you're dealing with rasa on a very inferior way because you're not connecting it to Krishna. Everything is Krishna. So therefore, rasa is Krishna. He is the ocean of rasa. There's no rasa separate from him. So therefore, the materialist trying to eke some rasa out of the material energy without acknowledging Krishna, they get very little. Something is there, but that's only because, not because the dead matter is interacting with dead matter. It wouldn't happen. Right? It's called pradhan. But that it's been separated into mahat, and therefore everything's been given its place and all that. The potencies of the universal form, they are imbued in all those different elements that Krishna's created. So it's the interaction of those elements, as Krishna's potency with Krishna's potency, we get to watch. Therefore, in touch with that, we get either the sensual or the emotional rasa. But that rasa is still Krishna's interacting with himself. Right? It's not that we think, that's the illusion, which you think it's me, or it's me and my kid, or me and my friend. But it's not. It's still Krishna's energy with Krishna's energy.
So the rasa, it comes from the tensions that have to be balanced.
Yes. Because that's the whole thing, is how to bridge the gap between the creator and the created. So that's Abhideya. That's the process. right? So in its pure form, then the creator and created is working on the spiritual platform. So then the abhideya is devotional service. But if you come into the material world, then you're dealing with those two principles, the masculine and feminine principle. Then you're dealing in the emotional platform, so the only way to put it together is through dharma, through religion, through nature. What is the masculine nature, feminine, how do those work? Right? So based on that, then you get an emotional response and experience. Or on the physical platform with the senses and the sense objects. Right? Still is then how those two combine together. And the fun thing is the material energy is the masculine and our senses are the feminine. Of course, we don't buy that. We think we're the masculine all the way. So, you know, the Purusha Bhav is king, you know, so.
That's Maya.
But that's Maya. That's Maya. So in all cases, we're insulted down to the last little minuscule, you know, situation. But we're still very proud and confident. But, you know, it's fun. It's fun.
Your explanation I finally understand what Prabhupada meant once. Our god brother Amarendra Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada, what is sense gratification? Is it a figment of my imagination? Does it exist? Is it real? And Prabhupada said, sense gratification is real because it comes from Krishna. But, and then Prabhupada spanned his fingers, and he said, but it is restricted. And by the time he finished the word restricted, there was hardly a space between his fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not very good return.
Yeah. No. That's the thing is we're very personal. It's all about Krishna and us, you know, and the relationship between the living entities and Krishna. Just happens to be here, we're trying to interact with Krishna using the material energy, the dead matter. So it's inferior. But the point is if we connected with Krishna, we start getting spiritual return on it. So it's not that it's limited, that therefore we can get full return. But the problem is we are not have the qualification to get it. Because there are people here that acting here experience prema. You know, we're not. So the problem's not the material energy as a conduit. The problem is that we don't have the consciousness. We don't have the qualification. We raise the consciousness, then our qualification goes up. But it's still down to how do we interact with Krishna and how do we interact with the living entities. Because we're going to be doing that here, we're going to be doing it there. Here we see the living entities, we don't see Krishna. Right? But as soon as we make Krishna the center of all relationships, then even the relationships here take on that spiritual quality. So even you're dealing with materialists, it's still for you, you're dealing on the spiritual platform. Because you see them as Krishna's part and parcels, Krishna's devotees. They don't know they're devotees, but they do. Like Prabhupada said, there's so many devotees, just they don't know it. Like that, you know.
Both with materialism and impersonalism, there's a real disconnect with Krishna. Only in bhakti is there, everything is connected.
Yeah. So that's all we're trying to do. But we have this great philosophy and so many shastras and so many activities to simply convince us of that. But that's all we have to do is decide, I'm not God, Krishna's God, I'm his servant, so I'll serve him instead of serving myself. Or trying to get everybody else to serve myself. That's all we're trying to convince ourselves. But we're stubborn. Like that. Very stubborn. Is that okay? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Can you explain how the senses
are masculine? You don't like that one. All the time is I'm in control. I enjoy. Okay. The principle of rasa, then in this case, is based on what's called vibhava, right? Staibhava means your relationship, okay? But vibhava means what is the inspiration, why there will be interaction. So in this, that means one has to take the masculine position, one the feminine. Right? So one is that, does that make sense? Okay. I mean, is there a problem in that? There's going to be a masculine and feminine aspect of this. Is there any problem with that?
It's not a problem. How
Okay, no, that's how. Do you have a problem with the situation? No, okay. So now, the masculine principle means that has the broad range of moods and activities. The feminine means what is the one particular mood or activity you want to draw from that greater source. Yeah. Yes, what you want to get from it. So just like Krishna is rasa, right? Mother Yashoda draws from him the rasa of him being her child. So he's the vishaya, or the enjoyer, and she's the ashray. She's the ashray of that rasa with Krishna. But Krishna is rasa. He's not a particular rasa. He is rasa. Does that make sense? So we see this as very great, unlimited, forms and, manifestations and potential, right? So then when you drop this down to the emotional platform, is that then on the emotional platform, the other person has so many moods, but you want to draw a particular mood from them. It doesn't matter what mood they're in. You want them to deal with you in a specific mood. Does that make sense? That's why when the man comes home, then only an idiot makes a plan on what's going to happen when he walks in the door. Right? Because the masculine means he could take any mood. But when he walks in the door, the mood of the female in the house is what mood he's going to interact with. You understand? That's the masculine and feminine principle. Then the emotions work on that principle. Right? Okay, does that make sense? Okay, now we drop it down to the sensual. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example of a rasgulla, right? Something we can all relate to, right? Where it's good. Okay, so now the rasgulla has form, right? It has texture, it has smell, right? There's so many aspects to it. But what does the tongue want to, how does the tongue want to interact with it? Taste. So that means the tongue simply draws the taste aspect from the rasgulla. So which is the masculine, which is the feminine? Yes, the tongue's the ashray, and the rasgulla is the vishay, and you think you're the enjoyer. That's why it doesn't work so good. Yeah, that's why it's prasad, it's Krishna. So he's the enjoyer. We're the enjoyed. Right? There it makes sense. But if we just take it a rasgulla in our tongue, it's like we're enjoying the rasgulla. No, you're being enjoyed by it, but it's dead matter, so the joke's on you. That's why you don't get much out of it. That's why everybody's saying. Prabhupada said his reduce is very minimal, because you're dealing with dead matter. But still, that you think it's the rasgulla that's the taste, but it's Krishna's potency of that particular sweet taste that's in the rasgulla. Like the rasgulla will have more of that sweet taste than sandesh, right? But the sandesh will have more of the richness potency like that along with the sweet. So therefore, it can come out to be equally as sweet. Because you put sweet with richness, that balances out just straight sweet. Because rasgulla is just sweet, right? There's no real richness. Does that make sense? So those potencies are there in it. So it's still, it's Krishna. So Krishna is enjoying you appreciating him in that form of a rasgulla, right? But if you don't recognize that it's him in the form of a rasgulla, that reduces his pleasure greatly. But if you recognize that he is that taste of that rasgulla, then Krishna's happy, therefore you're happy. Right? So that's the difference, is when you come in contact with the sense and the sense object, then it's only as long as they're in contact is there rasa. As soon as the contact is broken between the sense and such object, the rasa is finished. Right? So does that make sense? That's the inferiority of the senses. Emotions, when they contact, there's an emotional experience. Then even when there isn't that contact, that emotion can still be appreciated as long as you're in this body, right? But once you leave this body, it's not appreciated anymore. So it's longer. It lasts a lifetime, but it's still only a lifetime. It's not eternal. Does that make sense? So that's why then if, so sense gratification with without being coupled with emotional content doesn't have much substance. You know what I'm saying? So interaction based on just rules or just based on your own desire will not generate a very deep experience. So the sense gratification will be less. So someone who's self-centered and wants to enjoy their own senses, they'll get inferior sense enjoyment to someone who wants to please the other person. Does that make sense? Right? It's just the way it works. Rasa is from interaction, but sense and sense object is very minimal. When you add the emotional content, that's better. You know, when that emotional content is understood that it's Krishna, then it's even better than that, right? In other words, I can perceive intellectually that the sense and the sense object is Krishna's potency. So on that platform of Brahman, I'll appreciate it. But, you know, it's not, no one's ever claimed that there's an emotional content in Brahman. But it's intellectual content, it will free you from material contamination, you'll get liberation by that understanding. Does that make sense? But you're only going to get love for Krishna if you see Krishna in it in the form of him as a person. So in other words, this taste is his, it may be from the universal form, but the universal form is from him. So therefore, you know, is it, you know, A equals B equals C, so A equals C. You know, so therefore, he, you know, as a person, has come to me through the taste of this rasgula. So that how he comes, that's his business. He comes through Brahman, he comes through Paramatma. That's his, the mechanics that were up to him. He's God. But the point is he is a person who's done this, arranged this. Does that make sense? So that's why then, even in something like this, you can still see Bhagavan in it. That's why there's nothing that you can't connect to him. You know what I'm saying? But since you're connecting it to him, then the forms that are considered pious or recommended, those are better forms. He's more pleased with that. And when you're using, non-recommended forms, then that will be less his pleasure. Right? So since as a servant we're trying to give Krishna the most pleasure, we'll always choose the pious over the impious. So that's why we will choose the Vedic injunctions over non-Vedic injunctions. Does that make sense? Because they're a better medium for Krishna to come through. Right? You know, maybe he's there to some degree in Ayers Rock, you know, for the aboriginals. But the point is you want to see him in more full capacity, then you make a deity in the form that he recommends. And in that, then he'll come as you know, the Archimurti. But otherwise, there's some greatness. That power is there. That's Krishna. That's there in that rock that everybody goes there and is very impressed with. You know? Like that. I'm not sure if it's Prabhupada or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, when you go out and you appreciate nature about its beauty, you actually make advancement. Because that potency is Krishna. You know, that's why you see those who are in contact with nature and appreciate it generally are very nice people, peaceful, nice, like that. You know, you say like, what is it, the Bushmen, they are very peaceful people, like that. But that's as far as their advancement goes, is appreciating God in the form of nature. That's it. So they don't know him as a person, so they're connected to some degree with the Brahman element, so they do advance, but it's not going to get you back to Godhead. Does that make sense? How to not become overwhelmed, because Krishna wants you to do your duty nicely. Now, if that experience, let's say, of the sense, touching the sense object, that is being appreciated in connection to Krishna, but now in it, Krishna says, perform your duty with knowledge. So perform your duty because it's something you should be doing. You understand your nature, the other nature, what is your proper relationship. But now knowledge means the expertise by which you will perform that activity. Does that make sense? So it's not that it shall be done in a haphazard way. It's done in a very proper way. This is where the idea comes, well, if I just have the mood, then the form of it won't be good. No, you have the mood, then if you actually follow what Krishna says, your performance of the activity will be way better than the materialist. Because he's only going to take it up to the point that it satisfies him. So if he's very sophisticated, he'll take it to a very developed level. If he's very simple, he'll take it to a simple level. But if he's devotional, he'll take it to that level that pleases Krishna. Therefore, the devotees will be the most expert. They can also be very simple, but I'm just saying as far as what one can get, that only the devotees can take it that far. Does that make sense? Right. That answer your question? Why won't you? Yeah, so therefore that's why there's a difference in name, form, qualities, and pastimes. You start with name. But as it develops, the name means form. Right? If we say Krishna, do you hear just the sound? What in your mind, what's there? Yes, so that's called form. When you chant on the level of form, when you hear the name, the form of the Lord comes up. They're non-different. So how did you do that? How did you move your mouth and think of the Lord at the same time? See, because remembrance is a part of the intelligence, but it's also what's used by the mind. Right? So there's five aspects of intelligence. So memory is only one of them. So the other four then can be properly engaged in these other things. Right? Krishna wouldn't ask you to do something that's not possible. Right? And even if it is impossible, he has his, what is that? That potency, that inconceivable potency that can pull together opposites that don't work together. Right? Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. Right? That's a potency that can hold together contradictions. So even if it is a contradiction that's not possible, it still works. You know what I'm saying? It goes on. You know, it's like, what is it, that statistic, there's some statistic that to put one kid through university or something, from when they're born through when they're through university, it's some like, I forget what it is, like between $1 and $2 million. Who has that money? But how many people are going to college? So it's happening. It's impossible, but it's going on. Does that make sense? Yeah. Hare Krishna, sir. We're in class now. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, does that make sense? How is it practical? The point is it is. If you could say the name and think of the deity, so why can't you think of the, why can't you do something and think of the Lord? You can hear and think of the Lord, so why can't those two go together? Yes, practice. That's why it's called sadhana bhakti. Is bhakti in practice. Right? Does that make sense? It's like, how does somebody cook, do the laundry, take care of the kid, talk on the phone all at the same time? I'm saying you can't do it, but there are many, half of the planet can. That it's superficial to you because you only see, only if you're doing one thing, then there's full absorption. But they can do all these at once. Right? So it's possible. The jiva is feminine, so it can do it. Okay, very good. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Similarly, in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has lost his desire to act according to the Lord's will. He displays the symptoms of a soul bewildered by illusion and fear, Bhagavad Gita 130 purport. In the beginning of second chapter, Arjuna declares his unwillingness to play the part designated for him by the Lord, Bhagavad Gita 2.9. Srila Prabhupada continues with his purport to mantra 4. This does not mean that the individual soul has no initiative of his own, because he is part and parcel of the Lord. He must partake of the initiative of the Lord as well. When a person properly utilizes his initiative or acts active nature with intelligence, understanding that everything is the Lord's potency, he can revive his original consciousness, which was lost due to association with Maya, the external energy. So then this point then, because this is, will go out into a big discussion, then we'll continue that on Monday. So his being point is here is that our position is there, so that we've done there. And what is the independence? Now it's a matter of, you know, in this potency of that, taking that initiative, how to be inspired, right, that. Because we've just taken the position, right, the Sankarshan aspect. So now we're talking about his initiative, that will be the Prajumna, or his desire to be involved, I mean the need to be involved, the Aniruddha aspect. Right, so then those being there will go. So we'll continue with that on Monday.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. One announcement for all the students who are registered, fully attending, giving an essays, or who wish to be. Please put aside about 15 minutes on Monday after the class, and we'll have a small summit to discuss, get feedback, see how everybody's going. Over the weekend, please work on your essays, resubmit those ones that you've taken back from us. We need to keep them on file for your final assessment. Thank you. Thank you.